Morning again, everybody.
Morning.
It's good to see each one that the Lord has brought out. We are glad that you are here, each of you, and we praise the Lord for your presence. We know that He is the sovereign God of the universe in heaven and on earth. All power has been given unto Him, and He is in control even of our lives. As we trust in Him and submit our lives to Him, He guides and leads and directs us. He instructs us from His Word. He teaches us those things that He wants us to know. By His Holy Spirit, He, Jesus Christ, is revealed unto us. From Genesis to Revelation, the scriptural picture, if you will, of Jesus Christ never changes. He's always the same. He will always be the same. Mankind, we tend to change, don't we? But He doesn't. And in like manner, His Word never changes. The commandments never change. The directions on how to live our lives in a way that would be pleasing to Him, they never change. They've always been the same. We like to change them because we feel like we're different or superior than our ancestors. And so we like to change things to fit our technology, if you will. But the Word of God and God Himself is unchangeable. He's always the same. So this morning we're going to consider Him, consider Jesus Christ, and we're going to do so from the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis. We are going to present to you Jesus Christ, our only hope of salvation, our only Savior, and we're going to do so in a type and a parable. In this case, the type is the ark, Noah's ark. And so we're going to take a look at the event of the flood and Noah's ark. It'll be brief. This is a huge study. When you look into the ark being a type of Jesus Christ. And so this will be kind of brief. But be that as it may, turn with me to Genesis chapter 7. And each of us know the situation of this day. Man had become so evil that the stench of it reached the nostrils of God. Every thought, every imagination that they had were all evil, except for one person and his family, one man, and that was Noah. Chapter 7, Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Now notice, He did not say, for you are righteous. You're the only one in this whole generation that are righteous. You are righteous, Noah. Because Noah was not righteous. Noah was a sinner, just like you and I. He was born after the fall in the Garden of Eden of Adam and Eve, and thus he was a sinner too. But notice what he says, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. You and I are sinners too, born under the same curse after the fall in the Garden of Eden. But how does God see us? God sees us righteous also. How does He do that? Because we're sinners. He does that because He sees us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that He made on the cross of Calvary when He hung there alone for your sins and for mine. He's looking, God is looking through the blood of Jesus Christ, and He sees us as righteous. Isn't that amazing? What a Savior we have. What a love He must have for His people. Of every clean beast, verse 2, Genesis 7, 2. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, everything that breathed. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, and God had commanded him, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail. And the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of the fowl and of cattle and of beasts, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Let's go to the Lord. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for this precious time that you've given each of us to be here together and in your presence, even as you have promised, where two or more gather together in your name, that you would be here also. We praise you, Lord, for your mighty strength and power that you give us. We stand upon the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ. Would you open your word to us this morning? Would you reveal yourself to us in all your magnificence? We ask that you would forgive us for our sins. Lord, would you empty our minds from the things that go on in this world, the distractions that are in our daily lives, that at this time we might meditate upon you? Would you reveal yourself to us in Jesus' name? Amen. All right. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house unto the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Again, the Old Testament saints were saved exactly as you are and exactly as I am. God does not change. We said that earlier. This salvation is a miraculous giving of life. In the Old Testament, they trusted in the Messiah who was to come and to shed his blood. From the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned and covered themselves with fig leaves, God covered them with a coat of skin, pointing to bloodshed for life. And that's exactly what God the Father required for the payment of sin, for disobedience. And Jesus Christ fulfilled that requirement completely. When he came to this earth, lived his perfect life, and then willingly gave his life for us on the cross of Calvary. Now, we mentioned the state of the world at this time. It was in terrible condition. No one respected, no one cared about God No one appreciated the creation that they lived in and lived off of, and all the blessings that they had every day. And they had all that they needed for life because God provided it. But only Noah and his family were seen in the eyes of God as righteous. Only them. So out of all of those, and I believe it was millions of people, not just a handful as we kind of picture, you know, in our Sunday school lessons about Noah's Ark, we picture, you know, a few families. But no, I believe there were millions of people on the earth at that time. Out of all of those people, there were 8 souls that were seen by God the Father as righteous. Again, the reason they were seen as righteous is because they trusted in and had faith in the Son of God, the Messiah that God had promised, yet to come. Yet they believed in Him. They trusted in Him. They had this faith within their hearts. And we've learned many times that this faith is not something conjured up by any human being that's under the curse. No, it's a gift from God, isn't it? The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the author of our faith. That means it came from Him. He came up with it and gave it to us. He's the finisher of our faith. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Because we fail, don't we? We strive to do as God wants us to do and to live for Him, but we fail over and over. We find ourselves failing. But praise God, the one thing that you have that will never, ever fail is the God-given faith in the Son of God and what He's done for you. See, that's an eternal gift given to you because of love. God the Father loved us that much. Now, the ark is a great picture of Jesus Christ. That world back then was totally corrupt, other than his family. Nobody was seeking after God. There was not one righteous, no, not one, except for Noah and his family. In this world today, God's people stand alone in trust of Him. This is a corrupt world too. Who in this world is seen by God the Father as righteous? Who is it? That's a big question. It's everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ from the heart as their Savior. God sees us as righteous. This ark, God designed it. God told Noah exactly how to build it. There was a great flood coming in that world, and it was the righteous condemnation of God against sin. It was right for God to destroy the world because of sin. God didn't put up with sin. Sin must be eventually paid for, or already paid for. One or the other. Jesus Christ, as He hung on that cross, He paid for all of our sins. The ark was the means to save the world from the flood. When I say the world, I'm talking about these 8 people who would replenish, and all of these animals who would replenish the earth as God directed. Jesus Christ is the means by which God is saving this world today from destruction, from fire. It's coming. God is going to destroy the earth again. And He's going to destroy the wicked along with it. Everyone on earth at that time shared in this condemnation. They were condemned already. John chapter 3 tells us that the Lord didn't come to the world to condemn the world, but that the world was already condemned. But He came to save the world of believers. maybe they were too proud to get in the ark, all but these eight souls. Maybe it just seemed too low for them. They were smarter than that. They had lived their lives, and people lived a long time back then, by the way. They had never seen rain, I don't believe. I believe the earth simply was watered by dew before God opened up the heavens and flooded the earth. So they were smarter, they thought, than to believe in a God who was going to destroy the earth. And to go by what he said through his servant Noah, and that was to get in the ark. Repent. Get in the ark. Condemnation is coming. The flood is coming. But I believe that the pride of man in that day stood in the way of them getting in the ark. I don't believe it's any different today. God has called us to preach from this pulpit Jesus Christ as the only way, the only escape, the only salvation from the coming doom that God has foretold to us in his word through his servants. You see, it's the same message. Trust in the means that God has laid out for salvation. That's what Noah was telling them in his day. Get in the ark, it's going to flood. God told me that he's going to flood the earth and kill everything off and start over except for those that are in the ark. But that ark, it stood out there all by itself, didn't it? They had never seen anything like that. They ridiculed it. Certainly they did not believe the word of God that came from Noah. Jesus Christ also stands alone. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Only those in him will be saved from the condemnation of God that is coming. The noblest of that day, the smartest of that day, the strongest, the mightiest, and the weakest, the richest, the poorest, the most intelligent, and the most ignorant, they were all included in that massive group of people who rejected the word of God. The same is true today, isn't it? It is. The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. We've been studying that, looking at that in 1 Corinthians. You see, God uses the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. He uses the subtle, simple things of the world to confound the wise. Because God is so far above our intelligence, our wisdom, our ability to reason. But you see, he does this so that the pride of man is subsided, is put down. And we realize that there is no confidence towards salvation in us, in and of ourselves. It doesn't exist. Why? Because as the Bible teaches us, we are each dead in our trespasses and sins. Now what does that mean, dead? Because we're certainly living. We are alive. It means separated from God. See, when Adam and Eve died in the Garden of Eden, they kept living. That's why we're still here. But they were separated from God, see. You and I were born that way, separated from God. But God has designed a particular means of salvation. The same way he designed a particular type of boat, the ark. He designed it to save the souls that were seen as righteous by God the Father. Who is that? The ones that were covered in the blood of Christ, that trusted in that blood for their salvation. And let me tell you, in that ark, they were safe. This was the only name given whereby they must be saved. The word was, come into the ark and be saved. But that word was rejected. Nothing else would work for their salvation. And you can bet that there were a lot of people climbing to the top of mountains. There were a lot of people coming up with ways to try to live. But they did all of that to no avail. They objected to the ark. They rejected the idea of this little wooden boat sitting out here by itself being their means of salvation. In like manner, men ascend in wisdom to try to better themselves and to try to reserve a place in heaven for themselves. They do a lot of things, a lot of works. And humanly, a lot of these works are good works. But as the Bible teaches, these works, they won't save us. There is a work that will save us, and it's already been done when Jesus Christ gave his perfect life for you on the cross of Calvary. That work was acceptable to God. This ark was acceptable to God. Where did it come from? Well, Noah built it. Yes, he did. Where did the design come from? God. How did Noah know how big to build it? Perhaps Noah was thinking, there's going to be 1 million people show up here. It's not going to be big enough. God said, you build it this long, and you build it this wide, and you build it this tall, and you seal it up with this particular material. God designed it, you see. Did God know who all was going to get in the ark? Of course he did. He was the one that was going to flood the earth. Yes. He knew exactly who was going to be in the ark. Does God know who all is going to repent and believe in him unto the salvation of their souls? He does. He's God, you see. He's the sovereign God over all. The ark was the perfect size. A lot of people studying the ark and the flood have objected to the ark being big enough. But the fact is, every species was preserved in this ark by God's direction, including mankind. It was the perfect size, because God knew who was going to be in it. It's as simple as that. In that ark, in that vessel, there was millions and millions and millions of people saved. Although there were only 8 people inside. And when you count us and all of our ancestors, all of our offspring, until the Lord comes back, that's billions of people, isn't it? We also were saved in that ark because of Shem, one of the sons, and his offspring. In Jesus Christ shall be saved a number of people that cannot be numbered. There is great hope in the fact that God has called himself a people. He has reserved himself a people. If you believe in him today as your Savior, he is the only way, as the ark was. He is the only truth, as God's word that went out to those on earth at that time was. He is the life, as the ark was the only means of life, directed by God to those that roam the earth at that time. The ark was a safe refuge. It was made of the best wood. It was pitched within and out with the slime. It was sealed. We don't see any mention of pumps pumping out water for the ark, do we? No, why is that? Because it didn't leak. Because it didn't leak, it was built by God's design. Your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior today has no leaks. I mentioned earlier that we do fail in our daily lives, but your faith will never fail. You are safe, covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. In Egypt, at the great Exodus, God designed a way for the firstborn of his people to be saved. When death passed over Egypt, God designed a particular way. See, he's a particular God. Just any old way is not acceptable to him. It's his way that is always right, always true, always acceptable to him. He had them take a particular lamb of a particular age, of a particular type. It couldn't have any spot or blemish because it represented Jesus Christ, the way this ark represented Jesus Christ. It was built in a particular way. They kept that sheep. They kept that lamb for days. And then they slew that lamb. And they took the blood of that lamb and they painted it over their doorpost, which was what? The entry into those alive in the house. And when God's wrath passed over Egypt, everyone under that blood was saved. Every household without the blood was not saved, but their firstborn died. That was a true event. Another type, another shadow, another picture of Jesus Christ shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary. That's what saved those souls. Not the blood of the little lamb that they shed, but that blood of the little lamb they shed pointed to the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. What that means is that it was God's plan. It's always been God's plan. It's always been God's only way of salvation. Trust in Jesus Christ, to be in him, relying on him, realizing that all of our confidence must be in Jesus Christ. Why must we be seen through the blood of Jesus Christ? Well, because God is a holy, righteous, and perfect God, and he cannot look upon sin. But he can look upon the perfect payment for that sin. He can look upon his Son and the great gift of shedding his blood and giving his life for us. It's always been that way. They were covered up in this ark. We read earlier in verse 16, "And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him." So see, Noah trusted in God enough to obey him, even though I'm sure it didn't make sense. But he trusted him anyway. It might not have made sense to him to build it out of a particular wood in a particular size. But he did it. Though he may not have understood it, he believed God, you see. The same is true today. I don't understand a lot that's in this book, but I believe every bit of it. I believe I am going to understand it one day when I don't have this sinful flesh in the way distracting me from it. But I believe it. I believe it because I know God is true and faithful. Again, Christ is a perfect and flawless refuge, our only hope, as the ark was. The water beat on this ark. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. But the ark stood on top of the waters. No water got in. You may watch some movies about Noah's Ark and you'll see water pouring in and they're bailing and throwing water out. But let me tell you, if God shut him in and sealed that door, and I believe he did, Scripture tells us that he did, no water got in that ark. None. No death can get into the salvation that you have in Jesus Christ. It's a sure salvation that God has designed. There was one window in the ark. There is only one window into Christ Jesus. One door, one way. That is faith in Jesus Christ. This is not a faith like we have humanly. We believe in a lot of different things. But this faith is generated by God. It's authored by Jesus Christ himself. You see, this knowledge that we have of him is a gift from him. We can't understand how all of our trust and all of our confidence must be in him and none in us, not on our own. We've always had to trust in us, haven't we? For life, for survival. But when it comes to salvation, the revelation that he's given us through his Holy Spirit that he is the only hope. He is the only door. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me. No one lived the destruction of the earth during the day of the flood, except those that were in the ark. In the ark. They believed God, didn't they? They trusted his word that in that ark they would be safe. You can trust God's word today. If you are believing in Jesus Christ 100% for your salvation, you realize that he paid the entire price when he hung on that cross, all of it. You don't have to pay any. And praise God, because you didn't have the ability. You were spiritually dead, born that way. All of us were. Oh, but when God saves us, he gives us spiritual life. He gives us this realization that salvation, as Jonah said, is of the Lord. That's a complete statement. Nothing needs to be added. Salvation is of the Lord, period. And as we trust in him, we enter in to Jesus Christ. We enter in through this door, and he shuts us in. That's once saved, always saved, in case you don't pick up on that. When God saves you, he has all power in heaven and earth in his hand. You're saved eternally. Paul tells us in Romans that nothing can separate us from his love. That's why he saved you, see? He loved you. And praise God, he loves us anyway, in spite of ourselves. He didn't just start loving you when he saved you and you started trying to walk in his way and you started reading his word, no. He's loved you since before the foundation of the world. That's how great the mind of God is. He's always known you. There are no accidents when it comes to births. But always God has been in control of your lineage. You know, if it wasn't for your, and go back as far as you want to, great, 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 great grandparents, if they had married someone else, all the way down to you, then your parents wouldn't have been your parents, and you wouldn't be you. That's how in control God is in the lives of His people. You are you because God created you just like you are. What a God that sees us all the way through this life to the eternal life that's coming, and it's coming soon. Oh, won't you realize all confidence has to be in Him, Jesus Christ, our Savior. There is no other way to escape the condemnation of God that He's promised in His Word, and it's coming. It's coming soon. Look around on this world. This world is going downhill quickly, isn't it? They're cutting God out of everything they can. They think they're too wise to believe in such a simple solution. Having faith in Jesus Christ, the only Savior. But let me tell you, they're wrong. They're wrong, and we need to tell them over and over about Jesus Christ being the only way. He's the only truth. All the things that men come up with, it's not truth unless it's coming out of this book. God gave us this book. He's preserved it all these generations for us. And it hasn't changed, you see, not since God wrote it through men. Oh, you can trust in this Bible this morning. And you can trust in the picture of Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. He is the only way. Anything you can come up with, anything that you can do, none of these things will merit one day of salvation. All the money in the world stacked up in one place, how many souls would that buy? Zero. You see, it's only faith in the blood of Jesus Christ that saves the soul. Oh, praise Him if you know Him this morning. If you don't, won't you put all your trust in Him? Realize that He's drawing you unto Himself.